Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And then Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verse 16. This was given 40 years later. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, and let's read this one in unison. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And then one other text we're going to read together. This is in the Gospel according to Mark chapter 7. Let's turn there together. Mark 7, beginning at verse 6. He answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups and many other such things you do." He said to them, "All too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, 'If a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is carbon, that is, a gift to God, and you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down. And many such things you do.'" We come back again this morning to the subject of the gospel family, the family that not only conforms their relationships within the home to the commands of God's holy word, to those various relationships, but does so in the power of the gospel. One of the dangers in preaching sermons that have to do with really sanctification, have to do with how the Christian lives a Christian life, is that we can preach the gospel for justification and fall back upon a kind of legalism for sanctification, as if we're put right with God by grace alone, and then when it comes to living the Christian life, whether any aspect of the Christian life, but in this case, as far as our relationships in the home, it's up to us to just put out our best effort and grit our teeth and do our best as if that would be enough. Our best is never enough. Never enough. It's never fulfills God's righteousness on any level, whether it's justification or sanctification. It's through Christ that we're justified, and Christ alone. And it's through Christ in the power of His gospel, as we look to Him and His death and resurrection as the ongoing power for our daily living, that we are enabled to be a gospel family, or to fulfill our relationships within the family as a Christian husband or a Christian wife or a Christian mother, a Christian father, or a Christian child. And of course, that's what we've been looking at. And we come now to the gospel child, and I was going to stop. We looked at husband, wife, father, mother, and now child, and I was going to preach the five sermons. And last Monday morning, before I got out of bed, I woke up and was laying there for a little bit, and it hit me like a stroke of lightning that I had left out one whole family relationship. So you will get another sermon on this next week, and then I really will be done. But maybe some of you have been sitting back kind of smiling, wondering if I was ever going to see that I was leaving out one whole relationship within the home. And you children, why don't you try to figure out during this next week which one I've left out. We preached on the gospel husband, the gospel wife, the gospel father, the gospel mother. Now we're preaching on the gospel child. And for this sermon, I'm going to preach on the fifth commandment. Back in 1998, I preached a series of sermons on the Ten Commandments and on Sunday mornings. And basically, I pulled out that sermon and looked at it again this week. And I'm going to draw upon that basic sermon this morning. Because the fifth commandment, God speaks directly to this subject of the gospel child, or the Christian child. What does it mean to be a Christian child? not just a child of Christians, and not just a child who is a Christian, but a Christian child, a child who manifests in my relationship to my parents that I am a Christian, and how I relate to my parents. And children, that's what we're looking at today. Not just that you're a child and you're a Christian, but do you live a life as a Christian child? Would someone understand more about the gospel if they looked at how you acted towards your parents? Would they be able to say, oh, that's what a Christian is, when they look at how you relate to mom and to dad? That's what we're looking at this morning. Both Jews, historically, and Christians have divided the Ten Commandments into those commandments that directly address our relationship with God and those commandments that seem more directly to address our relationship with one another. The Puritans referred to this as the two tablets of God's law, because Moses brought down, God had written the Ten Commandments on two tablets, and Moses brought them down on the two tablets, the two stone tables. And so this has been referred to as the first and second tablet, or the first and second table of God's law. The first table is Commandments 1 through 4, and deals directly with our relationship with God. Commandments 5 through 10 also deal with our relationship with God by talking about our relationship with each other. That is, God is concerned that we as His people who are reconciled to Him, He's concerned in how we treat one another. We are to be Christian children. We are to be Christian parents. We are to be Christian whatever we're doing as God's people. And this is what the second tablet is dealing with. The Lord Jesus Christ summarized the commandments in God's law under the word love. Love to God and love to the neighbor. Commandments 1 through 4, love to God. It begins by, there is only one God. And Commandments 5 through 10, love for one another. And it begins with, children, obey your honor your parents. And so there's a parallelism between 1 through 4 and 6 through 10, love for God, love to each other. And it's interesting that love to each other begins where? With our parents. The Commandments 1 through 4 begins with there's only one God. And then the parallel to that, as far as human relationships, are those people who God used to give us existence. The Creator gave us existence through our parents, our mothers and our fathers. How do we love God? We keep His word. God told Israel that many times in the Old Testament. Jesus repeats it in what we call the Upper Room Discourse. For example, in John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, how does He finish it? If you love me, keep my commandments. This is why Jesus summarized the keeping of God's word as love in the epistles. This is how the epistles summarize what it means to keep God's word, to love in the way God has said. If we really love God, we will worship Him as the only God, the first commandment. We'll worship Him only in that way that He has commanded us to, the second commandment. We will not take His holy name in vain, the third commandment. And we will keep His Sabbath day holy, the fourth commandment. And since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that Sabbath day is the first day of the week. We can only keep growing in our obedience to these commandments. We can only keep these commandments or begin to keep them as those who are, first of all, justified by faith and are in union with God in Christ, reconciled to God, our sins forgiven. And then as those justified by faith, as we grow in daily sanctification, being set apart, being made holy in Jesus Christ by the power of the gospel. That's how we love God. How do we love our neighbor? How do we love other people? We must take seriously Commandments 5 through 10. We must honor our parents and others who are in authority by God's command. If you've ever studied the larger catechism's incredible Bible study on the Ten Commandments, you're missing an important aspect of your Bible study. You need to take that larger catechism and study that section of the Ten Commandments. You are going to do it in one Sabbath afternoon, I'll tell you right now. when I've tried to teach on it, it's taken me a whole year at least of 45-minute studies each week on Wednesday night and later on in Sunday school to even cover the Bible study they do there. But they take each commandment and show you how it relates to all other parts of the Bible. And one thing they bring out there on the fifth commandment is that by commanding us to honor our parents, the first human authorities we have in this world, by implication, we're being commanded to honor other human authorities that God has placed on us as we continue throughout life. But this morning we're going to concentrate on just the direct aspect of the commandment to honor our parents. We honor our parents. We love our neighbor by honoring our parents, the fifth commandment, by not killing or committing adultery or stealing or bearing false witness, commandments 6 through 9. And what's more, we don't even covet what belongs to our neighbor, commandment 10. That is, we don't just do these things outwardly. That's what commandment 10 is telling us. We're to keep the commandments inwardly, from the heart. Jesus told us that, didn't he? We may not kill someone outwardly, but if we hate them in our hearts, we've broken the sixth commandment. We may not commit outward adultery, but if we lust in our hearts, we've broken the seventh commandment. The tenth commandment points us back to all the others and says, this is to be a matter of the heart, not just a matter of what you, the front you put on outwardly. And again, how can we do this? How can we begin to follow God's commandments in our life of sanctification from the heart? Well, only by the grace and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only by faith in the promises of His Word. Only by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Our love for other human beings has an important and necessary starting point. Children, this is where you learn to love other human beings. Your relationship with your father and mother. One of the things that impressed me about Mrs. Tomlinson before she was Mrs. Tomlinson, when she was Miss Sturry, and I went to visit in her home, was her relationship with her mother and father. I looked at that, especially her relationship with her father, because I would become, if that became permanent relationship, I would become her head of her household eventually. And I wanted to see how she related to her father. And I was very favorably impressed and have been now these 33 years since. But this is one of the ways you can actually tell how someone's going to relate to other people. How do they relate to their parents? This is critical. How do you treat your parents? How do you respond to your parents? We have a debt, a moral debt to our parents that has a higher priority than the debt we owe to in many of our other human relationships. They are tools by which God gave us life. As a normal rule, they've sacrificed themselves to provide for us and protect us while we were getting started in this world and getting established in this world. And especially if we've had Christian parents, they have labored not only to provide for our physical and emotional needs, they've also labored to provide for our spiritual and eternal welfare by bringing us up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord with many prayers and tears that they have shed on our behalf. We owe them a debt that we could never fully discharge. But even more importantly than this argument from nature is God's direct command in His holy word. And again, look at the important place that the fifth commandment has in the Ten Commandments. When we begin to talk about a relationship with other people, this is put first to remind us of how important this is. I'm convinced that we'll have a hard time loving others if we don't love our parents. And that lack of love for our parents can even have a detrimental effect upon our love for God who gave us our parents. The command occurs, as we've seen in Exodus. That's when God brought the Israelites out of the land of Egypt as He redeemed them from Egyptian bondage. He gave them the Ten Commandments. This is what you owe to me if you're going to be my redeemed people. This is the kind of life that honors me and pleases me. And the Ten Commandments occurs in the midst of that. 40 years later, God gives the Ten Commandments again. the moms and dads who came out of Egypt, almost all of them have died in the wilderness for their sin. They've not entered the promised land. The children that came out of Egypt are now grown-ups, and they are going to enter the promised land. And God gives them the Ten Commandments again. And I want you to note how, in some ways, He elaborates on the promise. Look at Exodus again, that Exodus text there on your handout, Exodus 20, verse 12. The promise that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. In Deuteronomy, he says that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Long life in the land, but then he expands upon it. It's not just long life, it's a blessed life. It's a quality of life as well as quantity. And then in the New Testament, look at Ephesians. First of all, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. Honor your father and mother. He quotes the fifth commandment and says, this is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Ephesians was written for the most part to Gentile Christians. There were Jewish Christians there too, and it applied to them. But what I want us to see is that this was written to Gentiles in the initial recipients, showing us that this command, the Ten Commandments, and particularly the Fifth Commandment, was not just for the Jews. It was for God's people, God's covenant people, Jew or Gentile. And he gives the promise here. He says that you it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And he gives that promise to Christians in the New Covenant. Now, what is God commanding us in these words? Honor your father and your mother. And what is he promising us in the second half of the commandment? Let's look at what God is commanding us. Number one, and children, listen carefully here to what God says to you this morning. What is God commanding you when he says, honor your father and your mother? He is commanding you to be obedient to your parents while you are still a child, while you're living at home, while you're still considered dependent. And let me say here to you children who are not small children any longer, if you're still living off your parents, if they can, basically, in our culture, if they can claim you on their income tax as a dependent, then you owe them obedience. You owe them obedience. They're taking care of you. And, God doesn't give us a certain cutoff date per se, though I'll make reference to the time when God envisioned us leaving our parents in a few minutes, leaving their household. But in whatever culture we're in, if we're dependent on our parents, this really applies to us, our obedience to them. Now, having said that, I want to emphasize here something that's very important. And children, listen to this, please. God commands us to be obedient to many different human authorities in His Word. To the president, to the pastor and the elders, to our parents, in the government, in the church, in the home. And with all human authority that God commands, there are limits on their authority and limits on our obedience. I don't try to command you who to vote for as a pastor in the presidential elections. I don't really have any right or authority from God to do that. Some ministers have done that, and they've gotten in trouble. The church will have its not nonprofit status taken away from it because the government doesn't give the minister right to do it, but God doesn't give the minister right to tell you who to vote for. But I'll tell you this, the president has no right to tell you what to believe as far as your salvation is concerned. And if he ever tries to command you that way, you're under no obligation to do what he says, and you're actually under obligation to not do what he says. Because that's not his sphere. That's not the sphere of his authority. And this is true in all human authority. There's a sphere. And then secondly, even within that sphere, an authority has no right to tell you to do something God has told you not to do. So if the president tells you not to go to church, you're going to have to disobey him. If the pastor tells you false doctrine or tells you to do something wrong, you have to disobey him. And if mom or dad tell you to do something wrong, you're supposed to disobey. You're not to do what they say. Now, this is important. whenever we have to disobey a human authority in order to be obedient to God, we always do so respectfully. Being smart aleck or sassing or talking back is sin. It's sin if I were to talk smart aleck to the president. God commands me to show respect to him, even as he commanded the Christians to show respect to Nero, of all people, in the first century. And I personally would take President Obama over Nero. And I'm a Republican. So we are to show respect. But that doesn't mean we obey when we're told to do something wrong. So I want to emphasize that. There's a point where even a child might have to say to their parent respectfully, I must obey God rather than man, as the apostles said when they were commanded not to preach the gospel. Now, having said that, having dealt with that, let's set that over to the side. What does God command you to do, children, within those boundaries in the fifth commandment? God says in Ephesians, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obey them in the Lord. Obey them as a Christian. Obey your parents, whether your parents are Christians or not, but you do it in the Lord because you're a Christian. And why are you to do it? Because it's right. There are people that will tell you, children, that there is no right or wrong. But you know that's not true. If your brother or sister tries to take something that belongs to you, you get upset, don't you? If they do it without asking you. Why? Because you know that it's not right to take what belongs to somebody else. God has made us so we know there's right and wrong. And God says that it's right to obey your parents. That means it's wrong not to obey your parents when they give a lawful command. It means that it's a sin when you disobey your parents. That when your parents say, go pick up your room, do it right now and don't talk back. If you don't go pick up your room, it's a sin. If you don't do it right now, it's a sin. And if you talk back while you're doing it, it's a sin. Because all of those are lawful commands. None of them contradict the Bible. And it's important that we understand that we're breaking God's commandment when as a child we don't obey our parents, when they give us commands that are in accord with God's Word. Colossians 3, verse 20. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. As a Christian, children, do you want to be pleasing to the Lord? He tells you how you can be pleasing to Him, at least one part of being pleasing to Him. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things. Don't pick and choose if you're going to be a Christian child. You need to obey mom and dad. In the Bible, we leave our parents direct authority when we get married. This is what I referred to earlier. Genesis 2, 24. A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. That's when people usually left the home back in Abraham's time and Moses' time. And we're to obey our parents while we're part of their household. Both the apostles Peter and Paul emphasized that in obedience, we're to obey from the heart. The apostle Paul tells us this in his epistles in the New Testament. The apostle Peter tells us this in his epistles, particularly 1 Peter in the New Testament. Two apostles emphasize this. When God says to obey someone, He wants you to obey from the heart. That means you don't grumble with your mouth. That means you don't put on an insolent look with the face, an arrogant look, as you're doing what they told you to do. You don't give them that look that says, I'll do it, but I hate you or I don't like doing this. And it means that we learn through the power of Christ to obey from the heart. We don't grumble in our heart. This is true for all of us as we're called upon in these various relationships to obey God's command, that we do it from the heart. And this is true for you children. So how can you be pleasing to God as Christian children? In the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of your Savior, you obey mom and dad. That's the first aspect of keeping the fifth commandment. Now, Let me talk to the grown-ups in the room. All of us are children too. You know, we use that word child in different ways, don't we? Sometimes we say children, we mean, you know, you're like under 18 or under 16 or under 12. Sometimes we use the word child just to refer to a relationship with another human being. All of us have had fathers and mothers here. All of us do have fathers and mothers. They may be out of this world and in some other world, or they may be still in this world. But all of us are children in the fact that we have parents. How does the fifth commandment speak to us as far as children who are grown? We are to give our parents our support when they are older or when we're grown up and they need help. In the Bible times, your children were your Social Security and old age pension. That was how you lived. They fed you, and then that was stage one. Stage two, you fed them. That's how it worked. And so there was financial support. Well, Jesus, of course, in the Gospel of Mark text we read, you can find it also in Matthew 15, rebuked the Jewish leaders for setting aside this obligation to the parents. Now, I'm not going to go into how they were doing it. It was basically a payoff. You give the temple some money. He said you weren't obligated to help your parents any longer. And Jesus applied the fifth commandment. He said that was sin, that was disobedience to God, that honoring our parents involves helping them when they're older and when they're in need. And this would be not only financial need. Financial need's important. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, we're told that a Christian who doesn't help his family members who are in need is worse than an infidel, worse than an unbeliever, and has denied the faith. Even many non-Christians recognize their natural obligation to provide for their family members who are in need. How much more so should Christians be the pace setters there who are helping the family who are in need? But of course, for a lot of us, our parents don't need our financial help, or maybe need very little financial help. The structure of our society has been different. But let me suggest that this is not only financial support, that by necessary implication, I believe, from these texts in the Gospel of Matthew and Mark, there's other kinds of support that our parents need, and we owe it to them in honoring our father and mother, particularly emotional support, visiting them, showing love to them on a regular basis, helping them with other needs they have than just the financial. So we can sum it up like this. We honor our father and mother by being obedient to them while we're dependent upon them, and by helping them when they are dependent on us. And thirdly, and finally, we keep this command by showing them our respect at all times. Whether we're old or young, the fifth commandment commands us to respect our parents. We're to treat them respectfully to their face. We're to treat them respectfully when we're talking to our friends about them. We're to speak of them respectfully at all times. We're to think of them respectfully. There's nothing that sets this command aside, to be respectful to our parents. If our parents, again, as we get older, our parents develop problems due to old age that require us to make decisions for them, we're to still respect them, to treat them respectfully, even if their mental capacities have been interfered with by disease. We're to be respectful at all times to our parents. Part of respecting them, by the way, is not to forsake their good teaching and example. And so, in one sense, especially for those, really for all of us, but especially for those who have had Christian parents, there's a sense in which we always continue to be obedient to our parents. For they have taught us God's Word, or they have taught us what was truly right and good. Part of honoring them and respecting them is that we continue to live that way. And so that in a sense is an extension of our obedience to them. Read the book of Proverbs. It teaches this. Remember, whoever was the original recipient of the book of Proverbs was old enough to read, at least, and might have been an adult who's addressed as a son. And he's being commanded to listen to what his parents have taught him. This is God's command. And God means what He says. Listen how important this is. Children and adults, listen to this. How important is it that we treat our parents respectfully? Listen to Proverbs 30, verse 17. This is what God says. He's using hyperbole on purpose. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. That's just downright gross. And yet that is what God says. This is how important this is that we show respect to our parents. Obedience when we're young, support when they're old, and our respect always. And again, it's only in the power of the gospel, the power of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we can do this. Now, very quickly, having looked at the command, let's look at the promise. What is the promise here? In Ephesians, again, the promise is expanded, isn't it? It's that promise that was made to the Jews in the Ten Commandments is expanded to Christians, Jew or Gentile. And he expands that you may live long in the land, that is the land of promise, that you may live long on earth. Because we don't all live in the land, the Old Testament land of promise. Now, there was a specific application for the Old Testament theocracy. And let me sum it up like this, that the New Testament brings us to the fullness of God's blessing upon His covenant people in the gospel of Jesus Christ by promising us eternal life and eternal glory, by promising us that everything's being used for our good so that even our afflictions are good gifts from God. They don't feel like it at the moment, but they're good gifts from God to help us become more holy, to help prepare us to glorify and enjoy God forever. Now, the Old Testament way of preaching, that it was the right thing to do to believe God's word and to follow in the way that God had commanded, was to promise to the Israelites, who were a physical people, a physical covenant people, in a physical land of promise, physical promises. And so you can read in various parts of the Old Testament where God says, I'll give you good crops, I'll give you large flocks of sheep, I'll give you healthy cattle as you do what I tell you to do. One of the things that God promised was that Israel would be in the land of promise a long time if they would keep the fifth commandment. And later on, he said, you're not only be in the land of promise a long time, it's going to be a very satisfying life. And he wasn't promising it would be a bed of roses. He was just saying he would be present with them and bless them. Now, Ephesians tells us there's a very particular application to Christians in the new covenant. He promises us that we may live long on the earth. Now, do all Christians who keep the fifth commandment live to be 100? No. Some of them might die of cancer at 20 years of age. Their long life in the new covenant here in this world would especially emphasize the qualitative aspect. I'm not saying there's not the quantitative aspect. I'm just saying the emphasis is on the qualitative. It's a full life. It's a life of knowing God. It's a life of knowing firsthand God's blessings. And that's tied into whether we keep the fifth commandment or not. I believe there are many children who, as they grow up, and especially if they begin to rebel at certain periods of their life, run into all kinds of trouble. And they probably don't connect their rebellion with all the seemingly extra trouble they have in life. But if I'm understanding Ephesians properly, I think they should make that connection. I think they need to understand that God says, in Ephesians, He says that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth if you obey your parents in the Lord. Because that's right, because that's what is involved in honoring your father and mother. In the Old Testament, God took this so seriously, it was the death penalty. He describes in Deuteronomy 18, verses 18 through 21, how a child that was just rebellious, and you never could get the child to quit being rebellious, eventually the nation was to take that child out and stone the child to death. Now, if you read it very carefully, the child would be grown by that time. The child by that time is already a drunkard And I'm not sure Israel even ever carried that out. God made points by making these strong commands. He would emphasize something by speaking it very strongly. And to make this point how important it was. In the Old Testament theocracy, he said this is a cause for the death penalty. And we need to understand how important this is to God. But we also need to understand the promise. Often, I think people do live longer because they honor their parents. Especially if you have Christian parents and you honor them, you're going to live a kind of life, a quality of life that is usually conducive to longer living and healthier living. Because you don't do certain things. You've been taught not to do certain things that would destroy your body and destroy your life. We need to take this promise seriously, but especially this truth that we will have God's special blessing as we are those who honor our parents, obeying them when we're young, helping them when they're old, and respecting them at all times. So young children who are still living with your parents, are you obeying your parents from the heart? God knows whether you are or not. God sees everything you do. And He sees all the way into your heart and mind. If you go through the outward motion of obeying your mom and dad, but as you walk away from them when they can't see you, make a face. Or if you despise them in your heart as you're going about doing what they said, God sees that. He sees it as clearly as you can see me. He sees it more clearly than you can see me right now. And He knows what we're doing. You need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to call upon Him to make you a gospel child, a Christian child, one who truly loves mom and dad from the heart and obeys mom and dad from the heart, and who loves others, your brothers and sisters and others, from the heart. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that we sinners can really learn how to love. Grown children, are we supporting our parents? Do we visit them? Do we make sure their needs are supplied? Do we take time to talk to them and to listen to them? Do we encourage them and love them? Do we respect them in our hearts as well as verbally and in our actions? If so, God will reward us out of His grace. Someday, we'll have that support when we need it, and we'll probably need it someday too. And most of all, God's peace and joy will be ours by the Holy Spirit, according to God's promise in Christ. And again, we can be the kind of children we ought to be as we use the means of grace and depend on the power of the Holy Spirit given to us by Jesus Christ. All of us, let us always respect our parents in actions, thoughts, and words. For this is well-pleasing to God. For this is right. For this is part of our following Jesus Christ as a Lord. As Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians, honoring our parents is a manifestation of being filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Eternal God, help us to learn how to honor You as by Your grace we honor our parents and others You have put in authority over us. And particularly this morning, let us honor our mothers and our fathers. Help us, Lord, to obey them while we live in their homes and under their care. Help us, Lord, to love and take care of them when they need our help. Help us, Lord, to respect them as part of our reverence and awe for You. And we pray that You would strengthen us to this end, that You would help the children in our congregation to be truly gospel children through the power of Jesus Christ, Your Son, in whose holy name we pray. Amen.